This is the alternative media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth. The puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the new world order. Prepare yourself. This is the alternative media.
Hello and welcome to the Alternative Media. This is your Saturday broadcast where we discuss current events, politics, the disinformation, lies, deceit, and propaganda, the mainstream corporate-owned puppet media, and the fact that the federal government of the United States no longer has any resemblance whatsoever of representation of we the people. It is Saturday, February 2nd, 2019. We're in hour two of the broadcast, and I am happy to announce I'm joined by Monica Schaefer. Monica, how are you doing today?
Hello, I am doing just great. Thank you so much. There's a howling blizzard outside, and I am cozy inside with my nice hot cup of coffee.
Well, I wanted to thank you, one, for getting up early and joining me today. And we have a little bit of a tradition on this broadcast, and I know your answer is going to be very interesting. I like to ask everyone, what happened in your life that led you into this activism, or what woke you up, so to speak?
Yeah, what woke me up was actually realizing that 9/11 was a big lie, or how they presented it to us. And I didn't even wake up to that till 10 years later. And so about 2011, that rocked me. That rocked me to the core. In fact, I felt nauseous for weeks on end as I was digging into that deeper and deeper. And then a little bit later, I discovered that lying was not invented in 2001, and I started to go back further into our history. And World War II presented itself to me, and the whole Holocaust story. And, yeah, then I made my fateful video that changed my life. And would you like me to talk about that a little bit, or the 10 months I spent in jail for the video?
Well, just so you know, I played the video last hour because I wanted everyone to know what we were talking about if they haven't heard it. I've kind of been documenting your plight for a couple of years now, actually. So let me ask you this first. When you made that video, were you surprised at the controversy that ensued? And did it happen immediately right after you put that video on YouTube?
Yes, it did happen immediately in the form of a real big, I guess, a backlash. First, there was the positive response instantly. I couldn't believe how quickly the counts went up, and it took my breath away, actually. And the first bunch of comments coming in were very, very positive, but then hot on the heels of that came the very negative backlash. And, of course, the ritual defamation that I experienced in my hometown was quite severe. Now, you asked if I was surprised. Put it this way, I knew that I went through a door when I put that video out into the world. I knew I was going through a door, never to be going back. I knew that this was a big step to take, because it's just such a taboo subject that we are not permitted to discuss or debate, you know. Any doubts about any aspect of it is seen as completely, going against everything that we've always been taught over and over and over again. So I knew it was a door I was going through. It felt good to go through that door. It felt freeing. I actually felt quite exhilarated going through that door. However, that said, the backlash that I did experience really was quite a shock. I could not have anticipated all the things that did happen to me after that. And, you know, maybe it's a good thing that I didn't have that crystal ball to see everything that was going to happen, because maybe I wouldn't have done it However, I have no regrets, you see. So this is how it goes in life. Sometimes we do things that, you know, might bring us huge changes or hardships or whatever the case may be, and we might be afraid to have those things happen. But afterwards, I would say, no, I have no regrets. I would not want to put my head back in the sand, so to speak, to become ignorant again. And having opened my eyes, I am very, very happy to be speaking freely about these things, because we really are facing an existential crisis. And if we lose this, then nothing else matters anymore.
Well, you know, I was kind of late coming to the realization. I did not know until I'm not sure what the date would be. 4 or 5 years ago, I interviewed Tex Mars, and it really was I was not equipped to interview Tex Mars, apparently. I did not know, but he enlightened me during the interview, and I didn't know that these laws were in place in Canada or Britain or France or Germany about Holocaust. Holocaust denial to them is anything that you say that opposes the narrative that they put forth. Was the backlash localized? Was it worldwide, or was it mainly, you know, Canadian? You were in Canada when you posted the video, if I remember correctly.
Well, I live in Canada. However, I was in Germany at the time. Mind you, that question was something that they were more interested in, that question in court, than in the contents of what we were telling them. But now that that's all over, yeah, I can just freely... I mean, they knew anyway. They did house raids on my brother, who lives in Germany, and stole all his computer equipment. And, of course, they have their technicians to check it all out. And he's the producer of the video. He never was hiding that. It says it right in the video. Anyway, two stages of the backlash. One was the year and a half of ritual defamation, and that's just this process of isolating, demonizing, character assassination of a person who steps out of line of any prescribed, narrative. So if you break a taboo and certain group of people don't like that, they will just go all out to destroy you economically every which way. So that is something I experienced locally, and I do live in a very small town, 5,000 people. And I was well known beforehand because I wore many hats, was very involved and engaged in my community. So for them, it was especially important to take me down. And but I'm standing firmly on my two feet. They did not take me down. I'm still proud and unbowed, I would say. And then I went to Germany, and the second stage of this was the fact that I just went to Germany for a visit, to visit my brother over Christmas time of 2017 into 2018 and January 3rd, while attending as a member of the public, while attending the Inquisition trial of Sylvia Stolz. I was in the courtroom in the public gallery. They spotted me and took me out and arrested me, and I spent the next 10 months in jail. And I would love to talk a little bit about the laws, because you just mentioned that. The fact that in the court of law in Germany, if you are there for a speech crime, so being a political prisoner and you're before the courts just for something you said peacefully, you cannot really defend yourself or explain how you reached your conclusions or bring evidence, because all of that is illegal. Now, it just, you have to wrap your head around that even in the court where you are facing the, you know, the judge on the speech crime, that, you know, things you're not supposed to say, you cannot defend yourself, because then you are committing new crime. Yeah, that is the way it is. That is how far we have gone down this road of insanity. And if anybody ever thinks that, you know, this is a justice system that is bringing justice, to the people, we better think again. It is not so. It is completely rigged.
And just so everyone knows, Sylvia Stoltz was the attorney for Ernest Zundel, and she was on trial for putting forth evidence. Correct me if I'm wrong about any of this, because you were there and you know more about it than I do, I'm sure. But she was on trial for putting forth evidence in the defense of Ernest Zundel, and she ended up going to prison. The lawyer for Ernest Zundel.
Yes, okay. I just am so glad that you want to expand on what happened to Sylvia Stoltz. So she spent 3 years, 3 months in jail for doing her job too well as an attorney for Ernst Zundel, and that was 2005, I believe. So already that, and of course she couldn't practice her profession anymore after that. She was disbarred. Now, the trial that she was in on January 3rd is for a speech she gave in 2012 in Switzerland, and it was the Anti-Censorship Coalition conference there. And I just watched that the whole speech in its entirety, the uncut speech, just a few days ago. And so let me put it this way. Not only is it illegal to question the Holocaust, it is also illegal to bring evidence into the court for the, show what actually happened during those years in World War II, and that's what she spent time in jail for. But it is then also illegal to describe that situation, because that is exactly what she was doing in that speech in 2012 in Switzerland. She was not denying the Holocaust, in quotation marks. She was simply describing how it is in the so-called justice system in Germany, and that you cannot actually defend yourself, or you cannot defend your client for this matter, or you are facing the Inquisition again. And then exactly that happened. So she gave that speech in Switzerland. When she went back to Germany, she was charged once again under paragraph 130. That is the paragraph under which, you know, they say it's the Holocaust denial law. However, in that law, the word Holocaust does not appear. But, you know, it's all the context of it. And it's a very jelly-like law. Like, you cannot actually grasp it. It doesn't tell you exactly what you can and can't do. It's not like a law that tells you cannot break into your neighbor's house and steal something. That would be a very concrete law. But this is so the opposite of concrete. I'm searching for a word there. But I guess it has to be that way when they are when a law is designed to uphold a lie. It has to be very nebulous. It has to be very ungraspable. You can't grasp it, really. You can't determine exactly what it is, so that they can interpret it this way and that way, and that's exactly what they've been doing. So it is incredible that is where they arrested me. It was when Sylvia was still going through the courts for this crime that she did in 2012. Like, this is a long, drawn-out affair, and she is not currently in jail, but she is still facing them with this. She was actually charged and given a verdict of 1.5 years jail time for that speech, and I would recommend to everybody to search that speech out and listen to it or see the subtitles. It's in German, of course, but there are subtitles. It is a brilliant speech, and that is what she is sentenced to, 1.5 years of jail time. Now, she is appealing it, and that's why she is not currently in jail. It is in appeal.
And, you know, this is such a big story that gets no mainstream media coverage, at least none that really goes in depth and tells exactly what's happened. When you went to court that day, had the German government in any way telegraphed any message to you that you were in danger of arrest, they were considering arresting you, or was this just a total surprise to you that day in court?
Yes, it was a total surprise and shock. the German government had not sent me a letter, you know, dear Miss Schaefer, you might be in danger if you were to come to Germany, nor had my relatives sent me a letter to tell me that they had actually reported us back in 2016, right after the video was produced. It was relatives of mine with whom we had been very close in previous times. You know, I love these people. They're good people. But when they saw the video, they were so shocked. And, of course, they are a direct victim of the quote-unquote re-education programming of the German people. And, I mean, all of us have been subjected to this programming. Some of us have come out of it and healed ourselves from those toxic lies by looking into it. But anyway, in Germany, this is very severe, this re-education and programming. And they were so shocked by the video, they screamed at us to get out of the house. And they kept on repeating this thing, never again, never again. This is what they're taught, of course, just from the day they're born, pretty much. Never again. And they were screaming at us that we were going to make Germany bad again. So they believed they were doing something good when they reported Alfred and myself to the authorities, and that was back in June of 2016. So go
forward. Was that some of your family that reported you?
Well, they're extended relatives, like cousins, and actually it was the husbands of two of my cousins. And, you know, they, like I say, wow. We had been close to them in terms of, you know, whenever we had gone to Germany as a family, we had spent time with them. Very good people. They're very well-meaning. But this is the problem of our times, is that well-meaning good people are doing, I mean, we are doing ourselves in it. It says it right in the protocols of the Elders of Zion, that the Goy will become agents of their own destruction. And it is because of this psychological warfare that has been conducted against us for decades and decades and decades. And so if we have a wrong worldview based on lies and deceptions, then it's just like having a road map when you're doing a road trip, a road map that is completely wrong, and that you may just drive off a cliff with this wrong road map. It's the same with, you know, our understanding of the world. If we have a false understanding of the world, then we are doing things which are bad for ourselves. So this is what Alfred and I and so many other people like yourself were working so hard at, trying to open the eyes of our people to, you know, wake up to these deceptions and what is really going on in the world.
You know, I heard you describe just a little bit of this on Inside the Eye, but I think this audience will find it interesting, and we're going to be coming up on a break here in about 2 minutes. But but you were totally surprised. You were arrested. You were carted off to, I guess, a local jail or prison. What was the local jail and prison like? You can also talk about the 10 months that you were in there. I think we would like to know, you know, kind of what the amenities, if there were any, were like for you.
Yeah, it was a high-security prison. It's right in Munich, and the women's prison is next door to the men's prison, and it's the Stadelheim. It's a famous German prison, the men's part anyway. That's a very, very old prison, and the women's section is newer. So as far as physically, the physical amenities, it was modern, so we did have hot and cold running water in a sink in the cell. I know in the men's prison they only have cold water in the cells. Showers are down the hall, so they're not accessible at all times. They're only accessible when the doors open. We had very limited hours of doors unlocked, like cell doors unlocked, where we had access to the wing.
Hold that thought for me. We're coming up on a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. You're listening to The Alternative Media with Farron, joined by Monica Schaefer. Back in moments.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're back on the alternative media. Baron in the studio, joined by Monica Schaefer. We're discussing just a little bit of her plight through Germany. You were telling us a little bit of the conditions there in the prisons. I want you to continue with that. And also, did you have any idea, had anyone told you what you were facing? Did you have any idea whether you were going to be there for days or weeks or ultimately months? Or how did that come about?
Oh, yeah, that was probably one aspect that made it the hardest in the beginning, especially. I had no idea how long I was going to be there. Yes, they did tell me what it was for. I mean, formal charges were not laid until April 20th, and so that's almost 4 months later. However, you do get a document right away that tells you what you are under suspicion for, as it were, you know. So this paragraph 130, this incitement of the people, basically. So I didn't have any idea would I be there days, weeks, months, years. I really did not know. So in the beginning, the time went by incredibly slowly, especially in the first month or so. I mean, for a few weeks there, I had no contact with the outside world at all. It felt like I fell into a deep, dark hole or something. You know, then over time, as things got a little bit more, as I learned the ropes, as it were, you know, about jail life and kind of got into the rhythm of things there, it did become more tolerable. In fact, after a while, like, you know, after the first few months, I would say I was in a pretty good mood most of the time, just because when you're in a situation like that, you make the best of it. I mean, I resigned myself to the fact that I didn't have any control over the keys to my life here. They have the keys. They are locking me in, and I'm not going to be miserable all day, every day. No way. Like, I made the best of it. I stayed very engaged and active. I decided from day one that I would stay healthy, and healthy in all ways, you know, mind and body and soul. But so I did that, and the time did start to move more quickly as the months went by, and that became quite surprising to me how fast the time goes. Now, for people who know an end date, that might be a really nice thing, but I had no idea of an end date. I had no idea of when I was coming out until the hour of my release on October 26th, when the verdict came down. That's when I knew that I'd be coming out, and that was just right then and there. And that had its own challenges, I have to say. I mean, it just is such a shock. You know, they spit you out just as quick as they swallow you up, in my case. And, yeah, that had its own challenges, I have to say. Now, as far as the prison conditions, of course, I had no experience prior to that with prison anywhere. However, there's lots of other women there who told many stories of other prisons. And by their accounts, this prison was quite severe in many ways compared to other prisons. It was sort of a, you know, lockdown most of the time. I mean, that you're in your cells most of the time, 21 hours a day, basically, you're locked up in your cell. There's always the daily hour in the courtyard, and that's by law everywhere. I do believe that you prisoners are entitled to an hour in the fresh air. I mean, it's a courtyard. And then there would be an hour and a half in the afternoon where they would open the cell doors to that wing where you were. So then you'd have access to socialize with other prisoners and go have a shower, that kind of thing. And then there's another 45 minutes just right after the courtyard hour where they bring the hot meal around, and the doors are still open, and so you could eat your meal together with others in a group room that they had there. So anyway, that was it. Then the rest of the time you're locked up in your cell. And, you know, as far as the food goes, many people ask about that. It was sometimes fine, sometimes not so good. But, I mean, I was grateful that we got food, that it was very adequate in terms of amount. I supplemented the diet with things that I purchased. So twice a month you could purchase things off of a list. It's not like going in a store or anything like that, but so I got myself fresh fruits and veggies and nuts and lemons and ginger, and just really tried to supplement the diet to keep myself healthy, and that did work out very well. Some people complained incessantly about the food, but I did not get into that, like complaining all the time, because I have to say some days it was actually pretty good. Other days, well, you could probably, you know, pass by it, but there it is. And mostly sort of mediocre, but anyway, that was fine. I made it work out for myself.
Well, Monica, we're coming up on a break, then we've got a long segment, so just hang tight. We'll be back in moments. You're listening to The Alternative Media with Farron, joined by Monica Schaefer. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We're back on the Alternative Media Fair and in the studio, joined by Monica Schaefer. And Monica, you mentioned it a little bit earlier. What is the how's your brother Alberto doing, and what is his status right now?
Yeah, Alfred, he is in prison. His verdict handed down on October 26th is 3 years, 2 months. And he had already served 3.5 months of that because they jailed him. After the first week of trial, they basically just picked him up at his home and, you know, made some excuse for that. I think they just couldn't stand the fact that he was still speaking freely to the world about these things, and they found an excuse to lock him up. And see, for him, he lives there, and he had been still free up to that point because there was no flight risk. This is the excuse they made in my case, because I was coming from Canada and was just there on a visit. So they snatched me and threw me in the gulag because didn't let me go, not on bail or anything, you know, to await trial, because that was argued by my lawyer that they should have let me go and stay at my brother's place. They could take away my passport and have me report to the police every day or whatever, that kind of thing, just to ensure that I would appear at the trial. But they did not go for that. They were too afraid that I would get out of their clutches and return to Canada, where these same laws don't exist. Although I have to say, there are hate speech laws here that, you know, these things are are kind of like a noose around our necks. They're pulling us, reining us in ever tighter for what we can and cannot do or say. But anyway, the equivalent law does not exist here, and they didn't want me out of their clutches. They wanted me there. They wanted to, you know, quote-unquote, punish me for that thing that I had done to question their story. So, yeah, so Alfred is still in jail, and he is actually facing new court dates. And this, I'm going to just underline what I said earlier, that you cannot actually make a proper defense in court for a speech crime because you make a new crime. It's like going around and round and round in a circle, you know. So, yeah, you just explain how you reach your conclusions and boom, you've just done a new crime, and then you're in the court again, and then you explain it again, and there you go, a new crime, new crime. So he is facing more court dates. There was a court date on January 28th, but something happened with that. They delayed that. I mean, these things can go on forever. He's probably going to be, you know, facing more court dates just for quite a while here, and there they have him now in their clutches. He is in prison as we speak. But he is in really good spirits. That is the way Alfred is. He's, whatever situation he finds himself, he basically always sees the silver lining of the cloud, as it were, and sees things, everything as an opportunity. So he is in good spirits and making the best of it where he is at. But yes, they have imprisoned him. That is where he is now.
Wow. Well, when you were in prison, what were the guards and other inmates sympathetic to your plight, or is this, you know, viewed as, you know, some sort of heinous crime that you had committed?
Yeah, thanks for that question. There was a real transition or a real evolution of how the guards treated me from the beginning to the end. At the beginning, I was the quote-unquote, the Nazi on the block, and oh my goodness, in re-educated Germany, a la George Orwell style re-educated, that is, you know, really bad. So they gave me an extra dose of, you know, the degrading and humiliating treatment that they give to prisoners, and it was pretty severe, I would say. I mean, you just get yelled at the top of their lungs for just whatever. Like in the beginning, you don't know any rules. They don't tell you the rules, so you're breaking rules all the time. Just, I mean, little things, you know, walk this way, don't walk that way, or whatever. And then you get screamed at, and oh my goodness, it was pretty severe in the beginning. But I have to tell you that by the end, oh my goodness, I felt like I was being treated very well with a lot of respect. And of course, you know, this change came about relatively quickly. You know, I would say that within a couple of months already, I was noticing, well, just even in the first few weeks, I noticed big changes happened, but then over the months, it really improved, and more and more of the guards were treating me quite well. There were some that they just never really treated anybody like a human anyway, but that's okay. That's their problem, not mine. And amongst the prisoners, you know, I can tell you that in prison, people are much more open to hearing things that fly in the face of their previously held worldview. And I think that makes sense. They themselves are there for whatever reason, you know, maybe they fell on hard times and this and that, and now they're confronting the beast themselves, and so they are much more open. Now, I have to just explain, too, that in the German prison, I would say that actual Germans were not in the majority. They were in the minority. There were many, many people from many other places there. And if you just look at what's going on in Europe right now, there's a lot of people being pushed in from Africa, from other European countries, Eastern Bloc, or everywhere. Germany is being flooded, so is Europe in general, and so are we here on this side of the ocean. Excuse me. Anyway, but amongst the Germans, when I would talk to them about the fact that I'm a political prisoner, that I'm there for simply speaking something, they, in the beginning, inevitably would react with shock and say, no, 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 we have total freedom of speech here. It's in our foundational law. We have total freedom of speech. Like, that's what they've always learned in school, right? So then I would explain to them, well, if not if you talk about the Holocaust. And then they go, oh, yeah, that's different. And then, you know, so at first they still kind of stick with this thing that, oh, but that's different. Okay, Holocaust is different. That doesn't get included in the freedom of speech. Somehow that's okay. But it wouldn't take long to explain things. And, you know, most of the people that I talked to gained a new understanding of it. There were always some that didn't and just refused to see it, and not everybody wanted to talk to me about it, and that's fine. The jail boss was very unhappy with the fact that I was talking to people at all. In fact, you know, there were some conversations I had with her in meetings about my mail, and they were triple checking my mail. You know, all the mail goes through the court, and then in jail you're supposed to have it open, you know, these big brown envelopes, have them opened in front of your eyes, but they were checking my mail there again, reading it, and I challenged her on that because that was going against the law, actually, if the court has already been reading your mail. And anyway, this was a back and forth conversation. I won't tell you all the details, but suffice it to say that, you know, they were very worried about me getting followers or creating a gang or whatever. This is what she told me, and that's why they were reading my mail, my incoming mail. And I said, well, how would you find that out? Reading my incoming mail, because my outgoing mail was being sealed in big brown envelopes going directly to the court. And she said, oh, well, somebody might be responding to the things that you're writing to them, you know, going out. Like, they might be saying, oh, good plan, or something like that. And I just laughed in her face. And then at some point I just said, you know, if you're that worried about my conversations with other prisoners, I guess you really should be putting me into solitary confinement. And she said, that's the next step. And I just said, well, the world is watching. And that's how that conversation ended. Now, it might have been a little bit cheeky for me to say that, but I felt that I won that little, you know, dispute. And they never did put me into solitary confinement. And I went on my merry way, you know, and still had plenty of contact with other prisoners, like during courtyard hour and during that time in the every afternoon where the cell doors were open. So, but yeah, that was just the jail boss. I mean, as far as the day-to-day guards go, you know, I don't know how many of those women were willing or ready to open their eyes, but I can tell you that Alfred has quite a different report from the men's prison. He felt he was being treated very well right from the start, and he kind of thought maybe I'd paved the way a little bit for him, but I think that's being very kind on his part towards me, very generous towards me. But I think it is different in the men's prison. The male guards, they perhaps are a little bit more open and ready and willing to see what's going on. There are probably complex reasons for that, but I would say one of the reasons for it is in the men's prison, the proportion of German prisoners to foreign prisoners, and particularly white prisoners versus darker prisoners, I'm telling you, it's even more crass, like the difference. Like Alfred said, he had to kind of search for another white man and then search furthermore for a white man that spoke German when he was, you know, initially there and during the courtyard hours and whatnot. And many, many, many more foreigners in the men's prison even than in the women's prison. So the men, yeah, the male guards, they see all that. They see what's going on.
Let me ask you this. My family came from Germany. My heritage is from Germany in the mid-1800s. We're seeing the rise of the Yellow Vest movement in France. I think that's been going on now about, I think this is the 12th week of protest in the streets. Here in America, we see the anti-white bias. It couldn't be more blatant in the media and in the legislation of the United States government. Do you believe, I mean, what is your opinion as you've traveled to these places and know the pulse of probably the native German population more than anyone I've interviewed? Do you think the German people will ever stand up and revolt against the policies of like Angela Merkel, or have they become so indoctrinated and so propagandized that they're just going to be genocided?
No, I think that the German people, they are waking up, and they will stand up when they figure out what has gone on for them. And, you know, it is happening right now, but you just don't see it in the mainstream media, as you know so well. The mainstream media, they don't like to report on these things, or when they do, it's extremely twisted and turned and biased. And you know where the people are waking up the quickest in Germany is in the former East Germany, what used to be the DDR in German, the East Germany before the wall came down in 1989. So, and I think the reason for that is because they were already living in a police state, a communist police state, they weren't as prone to be brainwashed, you could say, because sure, they got propagandized with lies too, but most of the people understood that they were being lied to. Whereas in the West, we're taught, you know, we've got freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and we've got government, you know, for the people, of the people, by the people, and so we tend to trust and believe what we're being told. At least that's how it was for me until just a few years ago, and you know, that is how it is for many people. So the people in the East are really waking up a lot faster. And of course, in the press, in the mainstream media, those are all those neo-Nazis and right-wing radicals and all kinds of other names they'll call them to try to make people not think anymore. But you see, more and more people in Germany are realizing that they are being called Nazis just if they speak up about just about anything. Just about anything that they are going to start questioning or disagreeing with the mainstream narrative, suddenly they're a Nazi. And then people start to think, wow, okay, what is this? How come I'm being called a Nazi just for disagreeing with X, Y, or Z, whatever the case may be, or just showing or expressing concern about something, and suddenly I'm a Nazi? You know, like that is waking people up. And also, what is happening is that as time is progressing and things are changing very quickly, more and more people now either know somebody or themselves have had a direct experience that is negative, and with some of these new invaders that are coming into the lands. And so once that happens, you know, that there's more and more people who directly experience something, like whether it's, you know, vandalism or assault or, you know, yeah, whatever it is, they then start to look at this and go, what is going on? We were never asked about this. Why are all these people coming here? This is changing Germany, and it is changing Germany rapidly. So, yeah, people are waking up, and I just pray and hope that it's going to be on time. But yes, the people will stand up. I mean, this has happened in the past. You know, when I was in prison, I had access to some poetry. There was a beautiful poetry book that I had access to for a while, and also people were sending me wonderful poems from German poets. And it is the land of thinkers and poets. That is kind of what is Germany is known for. And in days gone by, and I'm talking about, you know, over the hundreds of years, some of these poems that were written, it sounds like they could be written today. It's like the German people kind of go to sleep and don't rise up, and they're very peaceful people, and until they are threatened with their very existence. And then when they do rise up, oh my goodness, they do They will rise again. Their spirit will return. And so I'm quite confident that that is what is going to happen, and sooner rather than later.
Are you totally free from any other prosecution? Is this? Do you have assurances that you could you travel to Germany again?
Oh, I don't think I would want to right now. In fact, I don't think so. In fact, I had to flee rather quickly because it by all appearances they were preparing new charges against me simply for things that I said in my last word. You know, I did a 4-hour speech at the very end.
Hold that thought for me. We're coming up on the last break. We'll have about 4 minutes on the other side. I want you to give out any contact information and finish your thoughts. We'll be back in moments.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website. The patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Dreamer, but my heart's a gold. I had to run away high so I wouldn't come home low.
We're back on the Alternative Media Fair and in the studio, joined by Monica Schaefer. Monica, I had had one question from a listener. They wanted to know if you had it to do over, would you still post the video? And we got about 4 minutes. I wanted to give them to you. Anything you'd like to share, contact information, anything, the platform's yours. And I want to thank you so much for joining me today, too. I want to have you back. Excellent interview and such an interesting topic. And I want to thank you also for what you've had to endure to promote the truth.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed this hour with you, too. And I really enjoy listening to on these breaks that we just had about the Republic Broadcasting Network, and during this last one, you know, the big topic was knowledge. Indeed, this is everything that I am doing and Alfred is doing is trying to provide people with some knowledge or just access to information and to open their eyes about what has happened to us, this psychological warfare that has brought us down to our knees. And so, yeah, and as far as the listener's question there, I have zero regrets, and I certainly would do it over again, the video, I mean, and have all these things that went on, because it's like, like we talked about earlier, it was a shock, and maybe if I had a crystal ball, I might have gotten scared to do all this, but that would not have been the right decision. I'm so happy that I did all this. And even this 10-month prison experience, I mean, of course, nobody goes up to their door and says, hello, do you have a spare room? Can I stay a while? Of course not. It was a shock, and it kind of tore me out of my life. However, afterwards, I'm just thinking, I wouldn't trade that experience away for anything. I would not trade that away. Like, it was just such a huge, interesting experience. I learned a lot. I gathered stories. It was just super interesting, and it's part of my life now. And I think it made me stronger. Now, I have... you asked me to share any platform. I do have a blog site, and it's called freespeechmonica.wordpress.com. So Free Speech Monica, all one word, and Monica with a K. Monica with a K. So freespeechmonica.wordpress.com. I write occasional articles and just, you know, I'm not super active on it, but that is my blog site, my website. And, I think that's about it for what I wanted to add. Did I miss something?
I think you got it covered. I want to have you back on. I want to keep up with the plight of your brother Alfred, because it's an incredible story. When you go all the way back, and I researched, got into looking into the Ernest Zundel story several years ago. I don't know how many, 5 or 6, 7 years ago, and it's just incredible. I didn't know anything about it, and then you fast forward how it has steamrolled into the Sylvia Stoltz, yourself, and Alfred. And I've told this to just, you know, like some of my family, and they're like, you got to be kidding. There's no way that's going on. You know, they just don't know.
Yeah, and actually this reminded me, I would like to encourage your listeners to write letters to political prisoners. And so if you wanted to write my brother Alfred Schaefer, that's at Stadelheim Prison. I don't know if, shall I just give the address right now?
It's, you know what, Monica? We've got music. I will give that out next week. I have done it in the past, but I will do that. And again, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
That's great. Okay.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.